So the question this morning is, are you spiritually ready for Christmas? It doesn't just happen, does it? It's not like, oh yeah, it's Christmas, I'm going to be spiritually prepared. And I want us to see from this account, you are aware, I think, that Luke was a prolific writer, was a physician. In fact, Luke is the only gospel that records this account of Zechariah and Elizabeth. In fact, I found it interesting. I was reading about an archaeologist named John McRae, M-C-R-A-Y. And I don't know a lot about him, but I think he was trying to prove, like many have, that the Bible is inaccurate. And he did an interesting thing. Because Luke is one of the more prolific writers, he went and researched in the Bible every country, city, and island that Luke mentioned. And this is what surprised me. Luke in his writings mentions 32 countries, 54 cities, and 9 islands. I had no idea. And guess what John McRae found? Every one of them were just as Luke wrote about them. In other words, they exist. You can find them, you can go there. They might have different names today, but they are there. And Luke is a tremendous help to us in understanding the significance of Christmas and how we should prepare our heart to be ready for Christmas. So I want us to look at 4 things that come right from the text that God used to prepare this family for the birth of Christ, the first Christmas. And I believe he's using this family to help us prepare in a few weeks for Christmas, another Christmas. Some of us have celebrated a lot of them. But you know what? It's so important that we prepare our heart and not miss in the busyness and the congestion and the noise and the lights and the travel and family and friends. We don't miss what Christmas is really all about. Let's pray and we'll get into these points this morning. Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself in a very clear way to us today. We come here not to hear from me, but to hear from you. And we thank you, you've given us your holy word. I pray, Lord, that you'd guide me, that I would say everything according to your word, and that you would direct our hearts to respond to the truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So God prepared a family, and it is important to note that he wanted this family to bring in what? The forerunner for Jesus Christ. In fact, if you go back to Malachi, you will find out that this text is an absolute fulfillment of what Malachi said. Many times when we read Malachi, we read that passage about turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. Did you notice that was in our text in Luke? Because John was that very one. And they were a very, you notice, it doesn't say he was some high priest. It says a certain priest named Zechariah. Aren't you glad and thrilled that God uses ordinary people? In fact, the truth of the matter is we're all ordinary. There's nothing special about us. But what God has in mind is to take usable vessels and make them what they need to be to glorify him. I also want to remind you that when the angel Gabriel speaks to Zechariah, that's the first time in 400 years that God had spoken so clearly. In fact, in looking up some other information, it was 500 years since an angel had been doing the speaking. It had been 800 years since the miracles of Elijah and Elisha. And here is Gabriel speaking to them. So I want you to note first that if you're going to have a be ready, be prepared for a spiritual Christmas, you need to have a righteous devotion. Look with me at verse 5. It talks about this certain priest, and it goes on to say, verse 6, and they were both, husband and wife, righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now, the challenge for you and I is to realize it doesn't say that they were both righteous before men, does it? Do you realize in that day how many priests, Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes would have looked righteous before men, but were not righteous before God? How do you get to be righteous before God? You have to receive what God has done by faith. The Bible is not a religion of the Old Testament and a religion of the New Testament. It's all the same. In fact, Abraham was called righteous, I think maybe first in the Bible, and he was called that because it says he believed God. He believed God. Do you believe God today? Are you trusting Him? Have you acknowledged that He is the only way, or the only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ? The Bible makes that very, very clear. And here He is, they are, both of them, and they weren't white-walled sepulchers. Remember Jesus' words to the Pharisees? Ye white-walled sepulchers. What was Jesus saying? Oh, on the outside you look real good, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. Isn't that still true today? Can't people look real nice and look real sharp, and yet inside they have a heart that is deceitful, that is thinking wrong thoughts, that's doing wrong things? It's absolutely true. So the question this morning isn't, how do you look? Do you look righteous? Do I look righteous? The question is, have you really confessed your sin? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? First of all, I should have said. And then if you've done that, you might be sitting here today as a believer, but sitting here in sin. Sitting here with unconfessed heart issues. And wouldn't you agree with me that many times the biggest struggles that you and I face as believers are not our actions, but our words and our thoughts? The things that we think, the things that we say to ourselves, many times those are the real revealer of what's going on the inside. And so I see here that this couple, both, and by the way, isn't that a blessed truth? You married couples here today? Could I encourage you to help one another be righteous before God? You know, husbands, we need to love our wives. Wives need to reverence or respect their husbands. But I want to remind you that there are many times in a marriage where the husband might need to say something to the wife. Or, men, listen now. Don't tune me out. The wife needs to say something to the husband to help them become more spiritually minded, walking by faith, walking in the Spirit. Are you with me today? I don't know about you, men, but I don't always like it when my wife helps me with something. In fact, I'm ashamed to say that there's been too many times I've reacted in the flesh, not in the Spirit. But this couple demonstrates that if you and I are going to have a spiritual Christmas, it doesn't come by waiting till Christmas Day to do something and read a Bible verse or sing some hymns. It comes by acknowledging on a daily basis, I want to be righteous before God. And we all know this truth, can't we? Or don't we? That we can fool one another, but we cannot fool God. God knows what your heart is right now, this minute. He He knows if it's right with him or not. I wonder if our nation isn't suffering because the Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I wonder if God's people are a picture of righteousness, living, pleasing God in everything we do, obedient to God's word. Notice what else is said in verse 6. Walking, that means they were living daily in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. And what's the last word? What's the last word? Blameless. Blameless. That's an attribute that God speaks about for deacons. A blameless person isn't a sinless person, but a blameless person is somebody who takes care of their unrighteousnesses. I didn't say that very good, did I? Well, they take care of the wrongs, the sins that they do, and make it right. I had a tearful week. And I had a tearful week because I was focused on George H.W. Bush's funeral. You know the word that I heard over and over again from non-Christian people for the most part? What a humble man he was. I can still remember him as president. Some of you here can't, but I can. And you know what? I believe that's one of the most glorifying things to the Lord Jesus, that we never pat ourselves on the back, we never talk about our accomplishments. Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips, the Bible says. And what really made me cry was that service dog. Did you see the service dog? Sully the service dog, named after Sully, who was the pilot that landed the plane on the Hudson. I think it was my wife and Mrs. Hammer talking about they expected that dog to walk around the casket and salute with its paw. The dog didn't do that. But I thought, boy, what loyalty, what humility. Laying there, hour after hour, respecting that person. And that person should be respected not because they were president of the United States, but because they were a statesman. You don't hear that word much anymore. I heard it quite a few times. Because he was a statesman that walked in humility. That is exactly what we see with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Humble, righteous before God people. And praise God today, any pride that exists in us, any sin that exists in us can be taken care of this morning, in the next minutes, by simply acknowledging God is right. His word is always true. We're the ones that are wrong. We need him. But I want you to notice something else. Look at verses 8 through 10. Not only does it talk about their righteousness, but it talks about his responsibility. Actually, my first point was righteous devotion. My second point is responsible devotion. Notice in verse 8, it tells us exactly that he executed, that is, he worked, he was responsible in the priest's office before God, and based on his order there, Abijah, the order of Abijah. I'm told that there were like 18,000 priests in that day. And there were so many priests that they were all given an assignment to come a couple of times, I believe a year, and do their service in the temple. Okay? So here he is. And you notice verse 9, according to the customs of the priest's office, his lot or his responsibility, his duty, was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. I love the fact that here is an ordinary priest, a certain priest, doing what God had called him to do, responsible devotion. And I'm always challenged and encouraged when I think about those words, when I think about a church like Eagle Heights, and I'm looking out at people that have been responsible in their devotion. These decorations don't get up here by accident. These microphones don't get set up by accident. I wanted to tell Keith Fortin that I thought that last picture of the manger scene, isolated in a field with the little city of Bethlehem over there, I thought, what a wonderful picture. You realize those graphics don't get up there by accident? Do you realize right now we can sit here and enjoy adult worship while adults are ministering to children and babies? Enjoy an orchestra and a choir? Responsible devotion. And I think the thing that would challenge me in this regard is that Christmas season is not a time to get rid of our responsibilities. It may be a time to increase them. You know what I'm saying? I shared with the Sunday school class in here this morning that when we think about our body here, our Christian community, there are all kinds of needs. I would venture a guess that there are people in this room right now that have no relatives, nobody to celebrate Christmas with. Maybe you know some, you'd like to reach out to them. I had a dear lady shared with my wife recently about how much she enjoys greeting time in our church. We greet one another. We did it this morning. But not always do we make an effort to greet everybody. And sometimes people sit in the back for reasons, different reasons. They could have responsibilities, ushers, things. They could have health-related issues. But what are we doing to show our responsible devotion? Not just our righteous devotion, our personal holiness, but what are we doing at this Christmas season to reach out and minister? Here is Zechariah. He was, and again, I realize he didn't know it was going to be Christmas. We know, but he didn't know. But here he was, responsibly doing not his own thing, but God's thing. You want to have a blessed spiritual Christmas? I tell you, if you'll look for ways you can be responsible to minister to one another. Did you notice that while he was in burning this incense that was part of the Old Testament, the temple sacrifice system, that there were people outside praying? It's a good reminder for us, isn't it? How much we need to be praying for one another, encouraging one another. There are so many things. But I see a third thing here. I see revealing direction. Not just righteous devotion and responsible devotion, but revealing direction. Notice with me, if you would, verse 11. Here's where the angel comes. He comes right in where Zechariah, by the way, angels can go anywhere they want, but right where Zechariah was doing his responsible devotion. Okay? And he shows up and he speaks to Zechariah. This is significant. And what does he say? He says, I've got an announcement for you. And that is, you're going to have a son. By the way, his name's going to be called John. And I believe the name John means God is gracious. God is gracious. Certainly true. Notice what Zechariah, how he responded. He says he was troubled, verse 12, and fear fell upon him. Now, I don't think any of us would hold that against Zechariah. If an angel showed up right here and started making an announcement, came up to this, and I stepped aside, wouldn't you? I mean, honestly, there's nothing wrong there whatsoever. But he was troubled, he was fearful, but notice that the angel didn't come to bring trouble and fear. Because after Zechariah is that, the angel said unto him, verse 13, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Wonder what prayer that is. I can tell you what prayer it was. It was the prayer of Zechariah and Elizabeth for years. Lord, could we have a baby? Could we have a baby? By the way, when you think about Zechariah and Elizabeth's righteous devotion and responsible devotion, do you realize that all those years they were doing that, she was barren? In those days, ladies, you all understand, I think probably there's some of this today, maybe not as much, but in those days, if a woman of childbearing age didn't have children, it was a disgrace. It was something that was embarrassing. It was something that was very, very hurtful to the lady and probably the husband as well. And in the midst of all that, they righteously and responsibly served God. But here's this angel revealing this great news. In fact, look what the angel says. Not only is thy prayer heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Look at verse 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Hey, this child that's going to come through you is going to be a great blessing, a great joy to the nation of Israel. Wow, what a promise. What a revealing direction Zechariah received. But I want you to notice, unfortunately, so many times what happens is that we don't always respond like we should. And even though Zechariah was righteous, and even though he was responsible, do you notice what happened? Did you pick up on it? In verse 18, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Could I say that this was some reproving discipline? Zechariah needed to be disciplined just as you and I do. Maybe this Christmas season we're going through some kind of challenge, difficulty, maybe some chastening of the Lord, and we need to respond to it. In fact, I think if we were speaking in today's vernacular, it might come across like this. I'm too old. Elizabeth is too old. This can't happen. You don't ever want to say to God, hey, God, what you say can't happen. In fact, I wrote down this word. I may be too strong, but I believe Zechariah demonstrated rebellion right there. Isn't it amazing how righteous, responsible people can be rebellious in ways? I heard this story a true story of a farmer family, and I remember this from my days in Red Oak, Iowa, but I remember my aunt and uncle had a cellar. You know what a cellar is? It wasn't concrete walls. It was kind of dug out underneath the house. And you would put, what would you put down there? Your canned goods, keep them cool and fresh. And the mother said to this little boy, I'll call him Johnny. Johnny, would you go get down and get some of our canned tomatoes? Johnny looks at his mom. Mom, I'm scared of the cellar. It's dark. It's damp. I don't want to go. Mother says to him, Johnny, Jesus will be with you. Johnny turns around. He walks over to the cellar steps. And he doesn't move. He says, Jesus, could you bring me some canned tomatoes? Now that's cute. But wasn't that rebellion? His mother said, I want you to go down and get the canned or tomatoes. And I want you to bring them up. We're going to have them for supper. That is really what Zechariah was doing here. He was saying, God, this can't happen. By the way, we know there was a difference between his question and Mary's question later on in this chapter, because we see here, notice what the angel says. Look at verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. God is right here. God has spoken this to you, Zechariah, through me. And then he says, to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Because, what does it say? Thou believest not my words. You know what, folks? We probably all could think of something this morning that we need to be trusting God for, believing that God can do it. Some of you are going to be with relatives that you've tried to win to the Lord for years over this Christmas season, and they haven't responded. Maybe they've even got more offish. Patrick was telling us this morning at prayer meeting that he wrote a note to his siblings, and it says, was the note basically, Jesus is the gift? One of his siblings contacted him and said, don't be so judgmental. Right? Am I right, Patrick? I want to make sure I'm accurate here. Now, I'm not trying to put blame on a sibling of Patrick's, but I'm trying to say this. The person who says, don't be judgmental, could be the next person that says, Lord, I believe. Couldn't he? Does the Lord want anyone to perish and not receive him? Absolutely not. The Bible's clear. So even though I'd like to maybe look down on Zechariah, I am reminded today that if we're going to have a spiritual Christmas, we may need to start this morning by acknowledging that it's all by faith and that we need God to speak to us, and he's made it crystal clear. He speaks to us, but we must believe it. Our believing doesn't make it true. It's true whether we believe it or not, but the blessing doesn't come without acting upon the truth. If Johnny would have went downstairs and trusted that Jesus was there, which he was, and there wouldn't be any bad goblin or bad guy getting him, he would have been obedient to his mother. Instead, he was kind of cute about what he said, but he was in rebellion. How about you today? Have you ever met somebody that was born dumb, I don't mean anything cognitively. I mean can't speak or hear. And it would appear that both of those were true here. The picture's clear. 9 months? Huh? 9 months? Of not being able to talk. Not being able to communicate. Can I remind you, he was a priest. They had to talk. It's one thing to be dumb by birth. It's a terrible thing to be dumb by choice, which is what Zechariah experienced here. Did you notice also what happened to Elizabeth? Made it very clear that she wasn't going to go out, even though she knew she had conceived. She wasn't going to go out telling anybody about being pregnant in the first 5 months. Didn't it say that? First 5 months? Why do you think? Yeah, embarrassed. People would look at her and say, "You sure don't look pregnant, Elizabeth." Right? I want to remind us that unbelief is the worst of sins. And that's why they had to experience this reproof. But I also want to remind you, we serve a great God. In the midst of their unbelief, God's purpose wasn't thwarted at all, was it? He is sovereign. He is in control. He is directing. And he will accomplish everything that he purposes to do. But he wants us to be a blessing and get joy in the process of that. I hope we're not missing anything this Christmas season. So, I want to remind us, the question was, as we started, are you ready for Christmas? And I would suggest these five things. How's your personal righteousness? Your obedience? Your blamelessness, is it there this morning? I don't know. I'm not making any judgment. I may be speaking to no one here. But I know this. I know that sin does so easily beset us. And God wants us to be righteous before Him. Before Him. Secondly, are we doing our priestly responsibility? Say, "Oh, Pastor, I got you here. I'm not a priest." But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Speaking of you and me, believers, we are priests. Are we doing our priestly responsibilities? Are we looking for ways to serve God during this Christmas season? Are we taking the revelation, the prophetic revelation from God's Word, and being overly attentive to it? I hope at the Christmas season you spend time reading the different accounts of the Christmas story and of all that's involved in it. I'm just touching on one little part of it this morning. There's so much more that could be shared. Are you living with any kind of painful responses of unbelief? Basically saying, "God, this can't happen. God, that relative can't be saved. That heart can never change. I'll never change." It's painful, but it's rebellion. God wants us to be trusting Him. The littlest thing to the biggest thing. Are you experiencing some punishing reproof? And kicking against the pricks, so to speak, the Bible says? Not allowing God's chastening hand to accomplish what He wants? I think you want a spiritual Christmas just like I do. But it isn't going to just happen by showing up to church. It's going to show up by daily examining ourselves for personal righteousness, priestly responsibilities, prophetic, by that I mean God's Word, we don't need any prophets today, prophetic revelation, looking to God's Word, getting rid of any painful responses to God, responses of unbelief, and taking any punishing reproof that God wants to or is bringing in our lives. Why does He chasten us? Because He's out to get us and He hates us? Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, what? It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of
righteousness.
Right, that's where we started. Zechariah's righteousness. Everything we're talking about this morning was true of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Can be true of us. We can have a spiritual Christmas. We can do what God would have us to do. So as we close our service this morning, I wonder what God has spoken to your heart today. Is it some responsibility you need to be doing? Is it some righteousness that needs to be handled and dealt with that you're not doing righteous? Whatever it might be today, as we close our service, would you just be honest before the Lord? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Well, the truth was that Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't experience any of the things that we think about when we think about being ready for Christmas. But they were focused on the right things, weren't they? Even with some disappointments along the way. How about you today? The piano's going to play in just a minute. The altar's open here if you feel you want to come, and I invite you to do that. Shows your seriousness to the Lord. Maybe it's responsibility. Maybe it could be any number of things. But I know this. God wants us to have a spiritual Christmas. I asked Jylene to play this In the Bleak Midwinter. We're going to sing the third verse in just a minute. Listen to the words. What can I give Him? Needy as I am, sinful as I am, unbelieving as I am. If I were a shepherd, I'd bring a lamb. If I were a nobleman, I'd do my part, be responsible. What can I give Him? You know the answer? Give Him all my heart. I believe that's what Zechariah and Elizabeth did in preparing for the first Christmas. They gave God all their heart. Took some hard things. Took 9 months for Him and 5 months for her. They did it. Maybe you need someone to pray with you this morning. We invite you to let that be known, and we'll get one of our leaders to pray with you. Maybe you decided that this is the church home for you. If you let me know that, we would love to get you on a path of new member.